For those of you that don't know me, my name is Pastor Kyle Ray. I have the great privilege of serving as the lead pastor here at KCC, and I am saying welcome to you, welcome to KCC for this Christmas Eve service. It's been quite the tradition here for many years, this candlelight service, and I've already had some of you ask me, what's up with the battery-operated candles this year? And, you know, the reality is this. There's these things called fire codes, and we were doing some research and found that the fire code that says that you can't do what we have done so often was actually written in 1981. You know, when we opened our Wyoming campus back in October and we talked about this candlelight service, the city of Wyoming said absolutely not for real candles, and it prompted us to think, I wonder if Gaines Township has a similar regulation, and once you inquire, you can't claim ignorance anymore. So, these should last us for years. And, you know, these are, it doesn't matter if you use real candles or if you use the artificial ones. You know, the fact of the matter is, these will serve as great symbols of the light that broke through darkness. Baby Jesus, come to be with us, to walk with us, to be our source of strength and salvation. That's what we're here to celebrate. Amen? Amen. So, whether we use real candles or not, I'm going to pray and invite you to join me in prayer as we prepare to dive into the Word for a few moments. I just have some things I want to share from the text, and then we'll sing some songs together and go get about the business of proclaiming this baby that changes everything. So would you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the chance we've had already to sing songs of praise to your name, Lord. Lord, I don't know all the different things that people carry in to this worship gathering, but I know I'm thankful to be here, thankful to be together once again as a church family, thankful that we get to spend some time in your word. I do ask, Lord, that you would anoint me afresh with your Holy Spirit, give me the words to say, prepare our hearts to receive, Lord, and I pray that at the end of the day, you would be glorified through everything that's said and done here this evening. It's in the matchless name of Jesus that we pray, and everyone said, amen. Well, look, I know that not everyone has been here the past few weeks, and some of you are guests of friends from, maybe you're from out of town, but if you had been with us the past weeks leading up to today, you'd know that we've been in a sermon series called Breakthrough. And in this series called Breakthrough, we've talked about the fact that every time we gather for worship, even here tonight, there are people that are in need of some kind of a breakthrough. It may be a financial breakthrough, it may be a spiritual breakthrough, a physical breakthrough, a marital breakthrough, some kind of relational breakthrough. There are people in need of a breakthrough whenever we gather together. You may be seated next to one right now. And they've been praying and wondering, God, when are you going to show up? And so we've talked about different aspects of a breakthrough. But all of it has been looking forward to this day. The greatest breakthrough of all, perhaps. When God broke through human history in the person of Jesus for you and for me. You know, we talked about discernment during one of the weeks of the sermon series. We talked about how discernment helps you to know when to go and when to stay. And some people are on the verge of a breakthrough, but they're ready to give up. And right before the breakthrough is coming, far too many people quit when they're on the verge of a breakthrough. We talked about consecration, an old school word, but it had to do with holiness, being set apart for use by God when God is preparing to do some breakthrough in our lives. And then we talked about preparation. We looked at the story of David and Goliath one week. Some of you, you know that story. David takes out a giant. That's the story that many people know. But you may not realize public victories like that are often preceded by private victories. And David took out a lion and a bear with the help of the Lord. So when he faced Goliath, he was confident for that breakthrough. And then this past weekend, smaller crowd, power outages, impromptu children's sermon, we talked about revelation. When God speaks, it will change the direction of your life. And we talked about the role of revelation when it comes to a breakthrough. If you missed any of those, you can always go on our website, www.kentwoodcommunitychurch.com. Go to the media center, check out any of those messages, the audio, the video. We just encourage you to dive in and hear what was shared in the weeks leading up to this gathering. But this gathering is all about this breakthrough that came in the person of baby Jesus. And so we've talked about this foundational principle that applied throughout this series, that a breakthrough moment is a moment where there's a significant or a sudden advance or development. And certainly the birth of Christ is a significant development in human history. God had been silent for years. The people were awaiting a Messiah. And then we get to this birth announcement. If you have your Bibles, I encourage you to turn to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2 is where we will be. You have permission to use your phones to follow along in Scripture, or your tablet or paper Bible if you want to get up and grab one. Just no tweets. Okay, you can tweet something during the sermon. If I say something really profound, tweet it to all your followers. But otherwise, follow along in the Word of God. You know, I get this image of like the family gathered for some storytelling time. Like, I don't know what your traditions are as a family. I don't know how many of you, before you open gifts, you gather everyone around just to read through the Christmas story. You may have heard this story hundreds of times, but I encourage you to just kind of lean in emotionally as if you're hearing it for the first time. You know, when we gather tomorrow morning, I may, as I pull the family together, I may do story time reading through this story, and I may wear one of the hats that I've received as a Christmas gift already from some of you. I just want to share these with you before I read scripture. You know, someone made a hat for me. They gave this to me this weekend. Great Christmas gift. Isn't that pretty cool there? I like this hat. I like it. It's handmade. But then I got to thinking, I wonder if the person that gave me this hat thinks that my head is shaped like a football. And so, but it's warm. It's nice. And then there's this other gift that I received last week, a nice Santa hat. And look at that there. Man. Ah, yes, I'm feeling the love now. And the rest of you folks that root for the wrong team, you just have to endure while I read scripture here. I promise I won't keep it on the whole time. Luke chapter 2, verse 1. In those days, Caesar Augustus, wait, this might be distracting some of you. Okay, I'll take it off. I don't want to mess anybody up. Oh. This reminds me that some people need to be in church. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So immediately we get Luke telling us why it is that Mary and Joseph would have been traveling where they were traveling anyway. And so the census was taken. People had to return to their hometown. And so Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. Now, just to give you the geographical context, they traveled from Nazareth to Bethlehem. It's about an 80-mile journey. Should have taken about 4 days under normal circumstances. They would have traveled about 20 miles per day. And just about every artist's rendering of this event, you see Mary riding on the donkey and Joseph walking alongside of her. And some of you have been pregnant before. You've carried a baby. We don't know how pregnant Mary was when they took this journey, but you can imagine hitting every bump and rut in the road while you're carrying this baby on the back of a donkey. This 80-mile journey over 4 days. To put it in context for you, imagine getting up tomorrow morning. For those of you familiar with our famous Michigan geography, imagine getting up and getting on the road by foot to head to, say, Benton Harbor or to Sturgis. Or if you travel to the north, you'd be walking by foot. Imagine walking in these elements, in the cold and the snow. I'm not saying it was like that for Mary and Joseph. I'm just saying, put it in context. Imagine you and a pregnant person going to Reed City or going to Mason, Michigan by foot, traveling about 20 miles per day. This is the journey that Mary and Joseph took, an 80-mile journey in order to respond to this census. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. So we've got these characters, Mary and Joseph. Mary was a virgin, and we're told in Scripture that she was told by an angel that the Holy Spirit would come upon her, the Most High would overshadow her, and that she would give birth to the Messiah, the Savior, the one who would save you and I from sin. Now, this is significant. In fact, one of my sons was singing Silent Night a couple weeks ago, and he got to a part in the song. You know how sometimes you sing a song and you forget the words, or you don't really know the words, so you make up your own words? He's like, round yon virgin motherless child. I said, what did you just say? He said, motherless child. I was like, man, that don't make any sense. Like, it's mother and child. Round yon virgin, mother and child. Like, if there was no mother, this story would be a lot different, right? Baby just drops from the sky and lands in a manger. But no, this is pretty interesting. You've got the one that's told she's going to carry the Messiah, giving birth in the most humble of circumstances, seemingly insignificant circumstances, and the baby sitting there in a feeding trough. This is what animals ate out of. I mean, that's what a manger was. You know, in the context of this series, this breakthrough series, what I want you to know is that major breakthroughs may appear to be insignificant at first. Have you ever had that happen where you've experienced a breakthrough, but the trigger for it seems so insignificant at first, so minor, just a new relationship in your life or some word of counsel from someone, and all of a sudden that was the key that unlocked whatever it was that was hanging you up. Jesus was the key. He's the key for this season because he changed human history. And I don't know about you, but when I celebrate Christmas, you know, in spite of all the busyness and commercialism and all of that stuff, I am so thankful that I can look to this baby in these seemingly insignificant circumstances and recognize that he changed my life and many of your lives as well. So oftentimes, major breakthroughs can seem insignificant at first. But we go on in the text, verse 6 says, while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room. Oh, I already read that. And there were shepherds. I'm sorry. Verse 8, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, what all angels say to people in these kinds of stories, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. You know, there's a truth that's packed into that point there. And that truth is this: what seems insignificant from the world's perspective is often of great importance from God's perspective. Like, if you stop the story just when the baby is born and is there in the feeding trough, and if you knew nothing else about what comes afterwards, you'd say, that seems like an insignificant birth. This baby is born to this poor couple where there's no guest room available, born in a feeding trough, no big deal, let's move on. But these shepherds are told, this is a huge deal. Like, this baby is the Messiah. He is the Lord. He is the one that's been promised. He is the one that will save. He is the one that is God's messenger. He is the one that will change your life. And this baby will bring great news of great joy to everyone that encounters him. You know, I want you to just imagine for a moment, and maybe a homeless couple wandered in this evening, and maybe the wife is pregnant. And you know, we would do what we do as a church. We would call one of our community partners that would take in a homeless family and give them emergency shelter. And there are only a few places in town, just so you know, that will do that, where they'll allow the family to stay together. Many of the organizations will separate the men from the women and children. They just have to because of the way they're structured. But imagine if that couple came in this evening, if we found them emergency shelter, and then we found out a couple days from now that the woman gave birth to a child in that emergency shelter, and they weren't able to get to the hospital in time, and then they were being cared for by that shelter. We'd say, that's great. We'd celebrate. We'd move on. But it would seem so insignificant. But this birth of Jesus, that might have seemed so insignificant, all of a sudden, this manger, this feeding trough, becomes the very sign to the shepherds that validates this heavenly announcement that from God's perspective, this baby is different. This baby will change everything. The seemingly insignificant things in our world are often of deep importance to God. We see this play out over and over again in Scripture. To help you out, maybe you feel insignificant at times. Maybe you feel useless at times. I need you to look at the example of the shepherds. Look at this virgin teenager that may have been marginalized by the world, but God used them in amazing ways. And if God can use them, God can use you. I don't know. You might feel hopeless or useless at times. But God can use the things that seem insignificant in the world. John described it this way in his gospel. John 1, verses 9 and 10, it says, "The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him." So here he is, Savior, Messiah. He's come to change the world, but some people didn't even recognize the significance of Jesus. And the same thing still happens today. We see people that marginalize Jesus. We see people that minimize the importance of his birth. We see people that celebrate Christmas that don't even understand the role that this baby played. That it's all about this baby. That this baby Jesus born in these humble circumstances affects lives today. And so we go on then. Verse 13 says, "Suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven. And on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests.' And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger." Look, the thing that happens next when they find this baby reminds us of this truth for our own lives. That when we experience breakthrough moments, we have a responsibility to share a testimony with someone. It's like if God has delivered a breakthrough in your life, think about 2013. I don't know where you were at the start of the year. I don't know what you were praying for a year ago this time. But if God has delivered on some breakthrough in your life, you better tell somebody about it. It says that when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told." Look, I have a question for you to consider this evening. How has the news of this baby impacted your life? You know, for some of you, when you hear that question, immediately a thought comes to mind. You know, if it hadn't been for this baby, if it hadn't been for Jesus' birth, if it hadn't been for Jesus, you'd say, I would still be on drugs. If it hadn't been for Jesus, my marriage would still be in trouble. If it hadn't been for Jesus, I would still be an arrogant, prideful person. If it hadn't been for Jesus, I would still be running my business in unethical ways. If it hadn't been for Jesus, I would have never been called into the vocation that I've been called into. If it hadn't been for Jesus, my whole family wouldn't be sitting here worshiping at this Christmas Eve service together. Some of you can relate that if it hadn't been for Jesus, your life would have been totally different than it is now. And if Jesus has changed your life, you got to share that with someone. These shepherds couldn't keep it to themselves. I can just imagine them going and telling people, "Oh, you should have seen it. We were just out in the field and these angels came and there was this bright light and light broke through the darkness and God spoke to us. And then we went and we found the baby and it was in these humble circumstances. And oh, this baby, I think he's the one. He's the Messiah. He's the Lord." For some of you, that's your story. You say, "This news, Kyle, oh, it's changed my life exponentially." But I never want to make any assumptions when we gather like this. I never want to assume that everyone has experienced this breakthrough. So I have another question for you to consider. Is today the day for your breakthrough? Like some of you, you were invited here by friends and family. And maybe it was begrudgingly. You're like, okay, look, you keep inviting me every year. Finally, I'll come. Or you said, okay, I get it. It's tradition. I'll hang out with the family. But you're saying, you know, I don't believe the story that I'm going to hear. You know, I don't believe the same things that you all believe. And that may be you. But it may just be that in the midst of hearing this story that you've heard over and over, that today it's taken root in your heart in a way that it never had before. It may just be that God is nudging you and prompting you, that for some strange reason, today is the day for your breakthrough, the day you would say, I want to surrender my life to Jesus. Look, maybe you walked in this evening and you walked in feeling hopeless. I need you to know that in that manger, there's hope in that baby. Maybe you walked in feeling sad and beat down by the struggles of life. I need you to know that there is joy in that baby. And maybe you walked in feeling like you've been ostracized like the shepherds were. They were viewed as unclean. Maybe you feel like you've been rejected by the world. I need you to know that there is love and there is acceptance in this baby. And maybe you just walked in the midst of a bunch of storms in your life right now. And I need you to know that there's peace in that baby.